Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. It's great having you join me today for another one of these great conversations that truly empower you with the knowledge to facilitate greater choices in your life. You know, it's about getting empowered with the knowledge that lets you really make informed decisions. That's what I'm all about, helping people make informed decisions. And then it's really up to you what you want to do, but you've got to have the whole story before you make important choices in your life. So that's what we're doing here, and that's what today's show is all about. I just want to be sure to welcome anyone who may be listening for the very first time. It's great having you here. I always love inviting people to join me every week, and certainly you can go to my website, which is What Women Must Know, like me there, or the Facebook is What Women Must Know. The website is Dr. Cheryl Selman, drcherylselman.com. And I send all the shows out to you. All the shows are archived, so you'll either get them on my Facebook page or you can get them into your inbox if you opt into my website. And that way you'll be sure to get all of these great shows. I have another show on this network every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time called The Love Code, and that has more of a spiritual orientation. I have some very inspiring and uplifting guests and spiritual teachers and authors and people who've had amazing healings. So both of these programs are really your avenue to gain more knowledge, more wisdom, and more practical strategies in your life. Today we're having a really important conversation because we're going to be talking about the dangers of breast implants with my guest, Sherry Clemente. Let me just say a little bit about the subject because I find it really fascinating. I was looking at some statistics and they were from 2014, and there was something like 280,000 women and teenagers have had breast implants, and over 100,000 women have had breast reconstruction. So it's a huge number, and that's just here in the United States. So what's the problem with getting breast implants? Is there a problem? What do we need to know? And what are the best strategies to help us stay healthy if we have implants? And maybe we need to have a second look at whether we really want to have these implants in our body. So to help us explore this really important topic, we'll be talking with Sherry. Sherry Clemente was born in New York and now lives in L.A. She has worked in the music and film industry behind the scenes for most of her career. After years of failing health and doctors looking at the symptoms rather than the root cause, she realized her safe, quote-unquote, safe saline breast implants could be the problem. She removed them in December 2016, and the majority of her symptoms resolved immediately. This experience inspired Explant, the documentary she's now producing. So it's my great pleasure to welcome Sherry to the show today. Hello, Sherry.
Hello, Dr. Selman. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. Oh. it always happens, you know. all heck breaks loose when I do a show. So there you go. Okay, so I'm back again. Moment of panic. So, Sherry, you have a story to tell. You have your own story to tell. And before we go there, I'm really curious, do you know what the latest statistics are with breast implants? And I know they're popular all over the world, not just in the United States. Do you have any recent stats on that?
Well, it's definitely larger than the number in 2014, and I'm trying to get a more accurate count. I'm really not sure because there seems to now be a lot of women who are now explanting, now that, you know, there are some things in the news and the FDA has now banned the textured implants. So I don't have an accurate number, but I will find out.
Yeah, it'd be so interesting because I know many South American countries are really doing crazy things with implants, all sorts of implants, right? I mean, they're crazy for trying to create beauty in all sorts of ways with surgeries and implants. You know, it's a powerful part of their culture to try to be more beautiful.
And also, if we think about the transgender community here, and men are putting implants in for muscles and pecs and all of these, so we don't even really know how bad it is, other than the obvious women getting breast implants. But yeah, it seems to be a craze right now. So I'm like a little concerned about the future, what we're going to start finding out.
Well, I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, it's a far bigger issue than we would think about without knowing what's going on in all these other populations. So, okay, let's start by sharing your story. Tell us a little bit about what your journey has been.
Well, just briefly, 20 years ago, I was living in New York, and I got divorced, moved to L.A., and decided, this wasn't the first time I decided, but I wanted implants. So I kind of gave myself a divorce present, and I'm a very healthy person, but it was one of those things, you want it. I'm not going to like look too far into it, but the research stated that, you know, the smooth round saline were safe, other than you might get some scar tissue and that you would have to change them out in, say, 10 to 15 years, which when I was that age seemed an eternity. And I went ahead and did it, and I actually loved them. I loved how I looked. I had more confidence, and I would say about 8 years in, I started noticing that I was having some very strange symptoms, and doctors were a little confused because I was kind of like living a vegan lifestyle. I've always practiced yoga. I don't smoke. I don't drink. So nothing really made sense. So basically, I was like tackling symptom after symptom until I would say I had them maybe about 11 years and started getting really sick to the point of I didn't think I was going to live much longer. And it really started with digestive issues. And then by my own discovery, because doctors kept misdiagnosing me, I found that I had a really terrible case of parasites. And I mean, the thing is, a lot of people have parasites, but I had very dangerous parasites. And I could not believe I have a very small physique, what was coming out of me. And the reason I even found them is every year, maybe twice a year, I would go to, there was a place in San Diego where you do like a raw food and juice cleanse. And I basically feel like by going there, I was kind of keeping myself alive. And I discovered them during colonics, which I hope that's not TMI, but that was the start of my journey with the illness.
So this was 8 years after you had the breast implants, and so your doctor said that, okay, in 10, 15 years, you may have to have them replaced. Did I hear that right?
Well, I think most, not all doctors, but most surgeons know, like you put anything in your body, it's going to break down over time. So the suggestion from my surgeon at that time was in about 10 to 15 years, you will need to replace them. But if they don't, because they were saline, so if they don't rupture, don't really worry about it. So
I was just going to jump in. I mean, just the thought of having to go through more surgery, you know, more invasive surgery, the cost of that, and just the invasiveness of that surgery, because I'm just so aware now of the consequences whenever you had any surgery of creating scar tissue. And we can get into this, but how the scar tissue that is created when you have a breast implant can actually expand in its size as the fascia hardens and can adhere to your lungs and to your abdomen and can create all sorts of other problems. Just every time you cut the body, you have scar tissue that can actually expand in its size. It's like the fascia starts drying out and adhering, which covers all the tissues and leads to consequences that we haven't even thought of. So do you have any idea what it costs to have breast implants these days?
Well, when I did it, it was about $5,000, and I would say now, I mean, probably I'm in Los Angeles, so it could cost upwards of $15,000-$20,000, but I would say like the average across the country with a decent doctor, I'd say probably about $8,000 to $10,000. You know, you have these newer surgeons and you'll see billboards like get your implants for $2,500, which is very frightening to me. And like you were saying, I was really young. I was newly divorced. And, you know, if I really, who I am today, I would never do such a thing. because like you said, there's going to be a future surgery. But I think I was 33 at the time. I was like, oh, 10, 15 years is so many years from now. And I didn't have any problems as far as I didn't, you know, have the capsular contracture. As far as like I looked physically, they were perfect up until I took them out. So until I took them out, I didn't even really know if they were the root cause. It was just I was running out of ideas and running out of time. So I don't want to jump all over the place.
I'm just really curious because you talked about these symptoms going on and getting progressively worse until you said you were at a place where you felt they were, you know, life-threatening to you. So what were the progression of symptoms that happened for you over a period of time?
All right, so initially, like I said, it was digestive issues. But I was also, when I was born, I had colic. I've always had digestive issues. But I would, maybe twice a year, my stomach, I would get so bloated and inflamed, and I felt like I had ulcers, and I would be so sick, and then I would like go off and go do my cleanse, and then I'd be okay for like 3 or 4 months. And around the 11th year, that's when everything started progressing. So what I've learned, you know, now is with breast implant illness, once it starts progressing pretty quickly. So the stomach stuff was, you know, a few years, and I kind of had a way to keep it under control. But I would say the worst, like towards the end, was the brain fog, where I was running a department at a big film studio, and my partner was actually took me aside and said, I think you have early onset dementia. I couldn't remember names. I couldn't form full sentences. And the crazy thing is, like, I felt like I was being poisoned. I was aware that this was happening, yet I could not put my finger on it. So, and I would wake up and my vision would be so blurry to the point I was almost blind for like 10 minutes. And then it would pop in, or I'd be like, you know, walking. And next thing you know, I'd be on the ground. Like I blacked out and I was on the ground, and just a lot of digestive. I would have sinus infections at least once a month. I finally found a naturopath. And now a lot of these symptoms are the same symptoms that you get with parasites. So I didn't know what was what. But basically, he told me I had heavy metal toxicity. And so we spent about 9 months getting the parasites under control. And I was feeling substantially better. But the two things that really stood out was the brain fog. Actually, three things, my immune system. And during any time I would lay down, my arms and legs would tingle, like almost like they would go numb at night. And he was even baffled. He's like, I don't understand. Like, you don't have parasites anymore. What is going on? So I mean, basically, the way I found out is my ex-husband, we had remained friends since our divorce, had a girlfriend who over the years, you know, he would share with me that she was having seizures and she didn't want to leave the house and anxiety, depression. And, you know, it's sort of like nothing occurred to me. But he calls me up one day and he says, you know, it's so crazy. Her urine smells like chemicals, and she thinks it's her breast implants. And I didn't even know she had breast implants. And the minute he said that, I knew. I knew that was the root cause of all my problems. It was just, I just had to go inside, and I knew. And he allowed us to speak with each other, and she directed me to some websites and gave me some information. And she had her implants out shortly thereafter, and as soon as she took hers out, she was like new. And I did mine maybe 2 months later.
Wow. I mean, to realize how debilitated you had become, and I can see why you were terrified. I mean, you were going downhill rapidly, and it was like being totally out of control, right? You didn't know what was causing it. You tried what you thought would be the solution, and it really didn't resolve all the key symptoms. And It's pretty scary. You know, it's a scary place to be because you're losing your key functions. And, you know, your mind always goes to the worst. Like, oh, my God, maybe it is early dementia. Who knows, right? It's very scary. And
this sounds terrible, and I will not say I was suicidal, but every night I just wished I wouldn't wake up because I was in pain. I was fearful. And I actually got to a point of like, and I know I hear this you know, with people maybe who have cancer or they're dying, you kind of reach a place of peace that, okay, my time is up and that's okay, but I just don't want to suffer anymore. And that's where I was at.
So this random conversation really was the beginning of your healing journey.
And not only mine, my sister, who had her implants put about a year or two after mine, within 6 months of putting hers in, she had thyroid cancer. She and I had a lot of similar symptoms. I didn't have cancer, but as soon as I called her and told her the conversation I had, she started crying. And the two of us, I felt like we just possibly saved our lives in that moment. So it wasn't just me, and I had some other friends who were also sick. And we were all kind of blaming our age or going into menopause and all of that. But so it's been a whirlwind, and it really set off a domino effect. It really did.
So tell us what you learned about breast implants, and we can go into more detail on the different kinds of breast implants that exist, or other implants, as you were saying, more and more people are doing, you know, variations on the theme of implants. But what is it about them that you have discovered that is so destructive to the body, that causes so many diverse symptoms of chronic imbalance or toxicity?
What I learned and what I was not told is that, or I didn't understand, is that every implant has a silicone shell. So whether you are getting safe saline implants or silicone implants, they all have the same shell. And the shell of every implant contains 40 or more toxic chemicals and neurotoxins. And just to name a few, I mean, the one that really stood out to me, I was like, what? Is there's formaldehyde. There are heavy metals in there. There's metal cleaning acid. There's talcum powder. There's methyl ethyl ketone, isopropyl alcohol, urethane, lacquer thinner, which is basically paint thinner, epoxy hardener. I'm just naming a few. Printing ink. It's frightening. And my surgeon told me, well, silicone's a naturally occurring, you know, thing that's in your body already. And, you know, the age I was like, all right, that sounds good. Just put them in. You know, I was not really educating myself the way I am now. So, I mean, I could imagine.
He said silicone is a natural ingredient of the body?
Well, it's naturally occurring in the body. So
silicone,
I think he was, you know,
is naturally occurring.
There's silica. There's silica. So.
Well,
I don't
silica
know.
Is a mineral. I don't
so
know how
I
silicone
a
is
of
a
ignorance.
Natural. Right? I mean, to say that, though, for a doctor to say that is shocking in itself.
It is shocking, and he did say that, and we've interviewed many women for the documentary, and he is not the only doctor. So I believe, and I don't believe he knew what was in the implants. I don't believe most surgeons would do anything to harm their patients. I believe these companies that make the implants have a proprietary formula and don't fully tell them what it is. So they may just say it's a silicone shell, but they're not telling them what else is in there that's creating this packaging around either the saline or silicone implant. So basically, we have toxic bags we're placing over vital organs. And, you know, our bodies are great at fighting, you know, like you were mentioning, you know, it'll form a capsule. Everybody forms a capsule. That is our body's attempt to protect it. But there is a point where your immune system cannot take anymore and your body cannot fight anymore, and that's when the problems begin. And it doesn't begin for everybody, and not all women, you know, relate. They may be diagnosed with a thyroid problem and never occur to them that possibly the fact that, you know, we have these implants near our thyroid might have something to do with it. And this is a big problem.
Well, So we're just talking about the silicone. We can talk about what each implant is filled with, whether it's saline solution or what's the other ingredient that's inside implants?
Silicone. Silicone.
Silicone.
Which is also more silicone toxins.
A silicone shell and filled with silicone, and then there's the saline. So the immune system is reacting to this foreign toxic substance that's embedded in the body, and it has many ways that dysfunction can show up as a reaction, as an autoimmune reaction, as the system gets more and more compromised trying to deal with this poisoning that is going on. I mean, we're talking like, you know, small amounts. We're just, you know, like molecules, right? I mean, we're talking about things that are being emitted in small, tiny amounts from the silicone covering. If the implant remains intact, and that's another story.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this constant, it's like a drip feed of toxic chemicals that can never be ever fully detoxified from the body.
Yeah, that's what I believe. Yeah, I mean, mine, when they came out of my body, my surgeon gave them back. He's a pretty well, in the explant surgery world, he's been doing this for over 20 years, and he returns the implants. And they were intact. There was a little something floating inside, and he thought it was just, you know, the shell breaking down. Some women have mold in their saline implants. That's a whole other story. So, if you think, oh, and the implants smelled like chemicals, and to this day, still do. I kept them for a while. They actually completely broke down to almost a powder, like a really, I can't even explain what happened to them, but they kind of disintegrated outside of my body, and I no longer have them. But I would say the first year, even after they were washed and everything, you could still smell chemicals, and it was like a tacky, sticky feeling if you would put them in your hand. So that's what's going on in our bodies after a period of time.
It is believed that saline implants are safer. And you mentioned this, and I just want to reiterate about the risk from saline, which you think salt water, you know, nothing can grow in salt water, it's fine. But I have been to a lecture with a woman who actually held up a saline implant that was black with mold. Black with, mm-hmm. inside, black with mold. I mean, it was a shocking thing to see and to realize that you can actually have this mold growing inside the implant, and God knows what other consequences that would have to your health, because I don't know if that mold escapes. How did it get in there in the first place, you know?
Well, the valves on saline implants can be faulty. So basically they fill it up, and, you know, now that when I was given mine back, you could see the valve, and there was like a little black spot, but he thought it was just my fluids, like, so maybe some blood got in with the saline. But at the end of the day, if we were given proper information, I think a lot of women would make different choices. Not everybody, because some women are very attached to having breasts, or if they had cancer and they're doing reconstruction, you know, feeling feminine. But I still feel like if I knew half of what I know, or even a little bit, I don't think I would have made this choice.
So what was your experience when you had them taken out? How soon after that surgery did you notice your health improving? What about your sister? What's happened to her as well?
Well, the minute I went into surgery, and I remember I was like, made myself really happy. I'm like, all right, well, either I'm going to come out and start feeling better, or I'm going to die during surgery. And either way, it's a win-win, because I can't go on like this. And I remember waking up and taking my first breath when I was conscious, and I actually got scared, because you don't realize where the implants are placed, and mine were under the muscle. You're breathing all those years. I couldn't take a deep breath. I didn't even realize it. Mm-hmm. So it actually felt uncomfortable at first, but all my neck and shoulder pain went away. My brain fog went away immediately. Mm-hmm. So I had so much energy. I didn't even take one painkiller after. I was so excited to be alive. I just knew I was going to be okay. I remember staying up the entire night and like the next few days, and my energy, I mean, I think within the 2 days later, I was walking a mile or two after having anesthesia and a major surgery. Mind you, my implants had adhered to my ribs, so it was kind of like a major ordeal getting them out. And my doctor makes sure to get every piece of scar tissue out because the toxins are in the scar tissue. So he does not leave anything in. So it was a new lease on life. And then my sister did it about 2 months later. We both immediately felt great. We also both, now almost 3 years later, I still have some digestive problems. You know, you're never fully better, but you are, I would say, at least 90% better.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, it was quite miraculous, actually, how you totally turned your health around from doing that, you know, that explant procedure. Who knew? Who would have thought, right? But your intuition told you, didn't it? I mean, when you had that conversation, something went off inside you that made you realize that this was important, this was critical. I mean, I call that your intuition, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I'm just, every day I wake up, I am happy to be alive. I am happy to be alive. And, you know, at the same time, you know, I had a big, powerful job, you know, in film. And about 6 months after removing them, I started, because my job was so high pressure. And I will tell you, as sick as I was, I would somehow get to work because I was like, well, I just wanted to be around people. But I would like lock myself in my office and I would have to lay on my couch and kind of try and work from there. And about 6 months in, I started having exhibiting symptoms of PTSD. And I think that I didn't know what that was. I went to my doctor and he was, you know, kind of reading through it. And I just think sometimes when you come on the other side of a life-threatening illness or some sort of trauma, I just everything changed. And at that point, I decided to leave my corporate job and really do things that made my life happier and healthier. So it's been a real awakening on many levels.
Absolutely. What a journey to get your life back when you felt like you were so close to death. But it's part of this. I mean, from listening to your story, Sherry, it is part of a big awakening, isn't it, for you? I mean, you made changes, you know, in your body, but you made changes in your job. It's a whole new cycle of your life that's going on right now as a result.
Yeah, and I'm producing a film, and yeah, I was always working behind the scenes and you know, managing people, and now it's like I got to produce a film, which I'm also a part of. I'm in it, and we're interviewing women, and it's like we're helping people, and we're not judging anyone who has implants or who's not ready or who will never get rid of their implants. It's just, we just want to share information so that women have the ability to make the right choice for themselves and have full disclosure of what is happening. So it's really, to me, I feel like this is my life purpose now.
Yes. Yeah, very much so. Very much you found your purpose. What do you say to women who are terrified of getting their implants removed because, you know, they won't have the breasts they had before, or maybe they don't have a lot of breast tissue, so if they get them removed, they, you know, won't have, you know, much of a breast at all, which is a big concern for women. How do you address that?
Well, every woman is different. When I have my implants, and I weigh about 108 pounds, and I'm 5'4". So when he put not even a large implant, but they made me a 32D. They weren't huge, but I mean, they were kind of big for my body when I look at pictures now. And now I am like barely an A cup. So, and I was 50 when I removed them, and I was single. So, but I have to tell you, in my case, and not just me, my sister too, I fell in love with my body for the first time in my life. But I don't know, like, if somebody's not very sick, I would think it might be a little harder because they're like, well, and I think I was like that for a while, like, who wants to have another surgery? But the truth is, when you put implants and you are told, you should be told, that they are not a lifelong device and they do need to be changed or removed. So do you want to keep having surgery at 60, 70, 80? You know, there comes a point where, you know, I know women who've had, you know, four different sets of implants because something happened to their previous one. I mean, at what point do we love our body enough? And I just loved to be alive. So because I was so happy to be alive, I honestly, if I had had cancer and I had to remove them and just have a scar across my chest with no nipples, I would have been thrilled. I was just happy to be able to think again. Mm. Everybody's going to be different, and it's a very personal decision. But I feel like if a woman is like, I want my implants, and I'm keeping them, and this is what I'm going to do, that, you know, they monitor their health, and they make sure that maybe every 10 years you do change them out. And research what you're changing them out for, because some of these newer gummy bear ones, the textured ones that the FDA just banned because of what is happening with those, you know, that's a newer implant, and there's more toxins in that than the older ones.
So I don't know about those. What are they, Sherry? I don't know about gummy bear implants.
Well, they call them the gummy bears, so if you took a knife and cut them in a doctor's office, apparently the silicone will not bleed out. It's more like the texture of a gummy bear, and they feel very natural. And they were putting them, you know, the textured implants, they tend to use more with breast cancer patients because it'll adhere better. And because the textured has like these little teeny indents, a lot of bacteria gets trapped in there. So a lot of, you know, it has been brought to the attention that these textured gummy bear ones are, there are women who are developing breast implant-associated lymphoma. And, you know, they're saying it is very rare. I mean, I have found quite a few just to interview, but it's not being reported, but there's enough going on where they have now pulled them and made them illegal just, I think, about maybe 2 months ago. And, you know, when I was thinking about changing mine out before I realized what was happening, I was like, oh, I want the gummy bear ones because they feel natural and, you know, it sounds very appealing, but there's more toxic, you know, anything that's new and improved is going to have more toxic chemicals in it to make it that way. Hmm. So, you know, now women are really frightened. We're actually going to interview a woman who had breast cancer who, you know, has partial disabilities because of the implants, and she, you know, she is really using her voice. So we've decided, even though we're in the editing process, to interview two more women next week who had breast cancer, had implants, and have had a lot of problems from these implants. And it's really frightening because, you know, you're trying to feel like a woman. A surgeon is putting this toxic bag over something that just had cancer. It's just, you know, we're not thinking because we're looking outward too much or looking at our appearances too much and, you know, not learning to accept our bodies as they are. And I really, our whole documentary is turning into like, what is beauty at the end of the day? Like, what is it? And you know, as a woman, I'm always going to want to look my best, but we have to be smart about it.
I was going to ask you about the women who have breasts, who had mastectomies, right? And then they have reconstruction, which is basically the reconstruction process is creating a flap, and then they can put an implant in there. So it looks like you have breasts. And you mentioned that just briefly a minute ago. But is there more you can say of what you are finding? So these are the women who've had breast cancer. They've done this invasive procedure of having their breast removed, and then they go and do the implant thing. So what have you learned about that population?
Well, like I said, we're going to be speaking with two women next week who would never, knowing what they know now, but I do have personal friends and even a relative who's had breast cancer, and she's older, and she recently replaced the implant. This is probably her fourth or fifth set, and she's in her 70s, and she has every symptom but refuses to believe it. And she's, you know, it's hard to speak because I haven't had breast cancer, so even though my breasts are small, I also had a lift, and they look like small natural breasts now. But, you know, a lot of women with breast cancer don't have nipples, or they're just going to basically have a scar across their chest. And I have a lot of compassion, and it's such a personal thing. But that there are other ways to reconstruct, and I feel like these surgeons, you know, the easiest thing for them is to put an implant in. Or maybe a woman's very thin, so they don't have, like, the fat, so that they could do some sort of fat transfer. So, it's some women don't care, and they're going flat, and they're being very out loud about it, and other women will not remove their implants. So it's I would say it's like 50-50. It just depends on the woman.
Oh, but they are a risk. They're a risk for anybody.
Yeah.
But especially if you've been dealing with a, you know, chronic illness, the last thing you'd want to do is to put yourself at jeopardy with something in your body that has the potential to really cause a serious reaction, you know, or a toxic exposure, an autoimmune condition, whatever could possibly happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and these surgeons still believe they're safe. They really do. A lot of them do. I mean, I purposely follow, and I'm also, because of my documentary, a lot of surgeons follow me. I follow them, and a lot of them, most of them still are putting implants in. I'm always like, okay, why are they following my page? But okay, that's fine. Maybe they'll learn something. But I will see women panicking, saying, you know, what are you telling your patients who have these textured gummy bear type implants? And they're like, well, if you're not having symptoms, you know, don't remove them. I mean, that to me is so, I don't understand that. Like, then all these women feel like they're like a ticking time bomb. And yeah. I don't, you know, they've already gone through cancer, and now they just feel like, so when is this going to happen to me? And they're in a panic. And I went to the company website, and basically they're willing to replace the implants with a different kind of implant. They will not pay for the surgery. They will just replace the implant. So I presume there's going to be quite a few class action lawsuits, just like we had with the Dow Corning back in the 80s. However, you know, that company then went bankrupt, and they started making implants under, you know, a different company. And I don't want to get too much into the pharmaceutical industry, because it is going to be what it's going to be, and women will always probably want implants. So I really do think it's our responsibility to be accountable for ourselves and our lives, and ask a lot of questions and do a lot of research, and, you know, don't just take what a surgeon says at face value, because this is their bread and butter. This is where they're making a lot of money.
So can we just talk a minute about other forms of implants? Has that come up in your research? You know, the implants for faces, or like you were saying, muscles, or I don't know, implants for your butt as well, right?
Right.
Implants.
Oh, no.
But have you researched that?
We were going to, but our documentary could only be so long, and we have so much footage right now, but... My director is fascinated. She's never had plastic surgery, and she's fascinated, and actually talked to somebody who said, like, there's like this in Las Vegas, there's a lot of these, you know, transgender people who can't afford proper surgery or whatever they do for that. And there's like these underground places where people are shooting silicone directly into their buttocks, and, you know, not in any kind of, shell. And then it gets really hard, or people are dying. I mean, there's just like this whole black market going on. But even the legal ones, where you go to a surgeon, I mean, I would say the butt implants, all of that is fairly new still. But I am sure these women, and I don't know if men do them, but are starting to have symptoms. I mean, we haven't touched too much upon it, because there's so much to do with what we're already addressing, but... I also, like, when I think about it, like, I know a few people maybe who've had, like, a chin implant or a cheek implant, and I know somebody who's had cheek implants for a very long time, and, you know, I know she has headaches, but again, we don't know, is it from that? But it's a more solid piece rather than something that has, like, a liquid in it. So I don't know if it's the exact same chemicals in it, but I can't imagine putting anything in our body. You know, I mean, people need pacemakers. People need different medical devices. Some of them will save our lives, but our body's always going to see it as a foreign object and try and rid our bodies of it. So I would say pretty much anything we put in our body is going to, on some level, our body's going to try and reject it, some worse than others. So you kind of have to weigh it out. And if it's something that's saving your life, of course you're going to do it.
So tell us about the documentary you're making, Sherry.
Well, I had a friend who's also in the film industry we've been friends for about 17, 18 years, and she watched my health go down. And then after my surgery, I remember she came over and sat in bed with me, and she's like, "You're like a different person." And we just decided in that moment, like, we need to kind of do something about this, so let's make a documentary. And, you know, I just wanted to get the word out so quickly. I'm like, we need to finish this documentary in like 3 months, but obviously it doesn't work that way. And it's been a process. So, you know, we found a film crew that would pretty much, they all believed in it. We have a small film crew, and they're all kind of donating their time until we sell it. And, you know, we did a lot of filming. We have hours and hours and hours of footage. And now we're trying to just, you know, get it down to like about an hour long documentary. And it's over the last 2.5 years, you know, we didn't want to make it a medical documentary. We don't want to make it a documentary where people are going to be like, "Oh, I don't want to watch this because I like my breast implants. I don't want to scare myself." So it's kind of turned into like really like a love story. So we are interviewing people. We've interviewed surgeons, women, men, women with cancer, women who decided to get implants after they had babies, people like me who I got divorced. I just on a whim almost decided that this is what I want to do to myself. And it's just, you keep hearing the same things over and over. And just all these women, even though we've all been through this and even though we all did this to ourselves, almost every woman after explanting falls in love with themselves. And that to me, I just got chills just even saying that. That's the beautiful thing, and that's where I have no regrets for what I did. None, because it taught me to love myself just as I am. Of course, I dye my hair. You know, I do, like I said, but I love my body, scars and all. I know, I can't be a hypocrite about this.
Well, I think, you know, small sin dyeing your hair. We'll let it go. You know, what's so fascinating to me, Sherry, is looking at how, aside from what you've learned and aside from, you know, this profound healing that occurred from this recognition that finally, you know, the answer lies with the poisoning from your breast implant, but how this journey that you're on has really led you to a purpose and a passion. And making choices that got you out of a toxic world and toxic profession in a sense, and ultimately giving you this purpose in life as well as the experience of really reclaiming your body and loving your body, which is an amazing gift you've given yourself as
it
you look
is.
Back, you know, with hindsight, right?
Yes, and, you know, even the people I surround myself with are different, you know. I've come into this community of, like, healers and seekers, like, just kind of how I always was, but I was surrounding myself. I always say be careful, like, what and who you put in your body because, you know, toxins are toxins. And it's not just what we put in our body. It's our thoughts and it's the people we surround ourselves with or have relationships with. And I just really spent a lot of time going inward and making healthier choices for myself on every level. So for me, this opened up a life I never thought I was able to have. So that's the beauty in it. And that's the love story because, you know, not everybody has that love story because there are some women, even after they explant, if they've had them too long or their health has declined too much, you know, there are women who just can't come back after that. But I would say a very large percentage of women heal. And, you know, they heal maybe slower for some it may be more, like in my case, it was almost immediate. It was immediate. And that's not for everybody, but I would say everybody who explants on some level gets better.
Right.
So there is a happy ending.
So can we just talk a little bit about what you've learned that drives women to embark upon this path of using implants, breast implants? What have you discovered in the course of interviewing women and putting this documentary together?
As far as why women get implants?
Yeah, you know, what is it about either our culture, our conditioning, what is it about women's sense of self that leads them down the path of implants? Even though they know it's a cost, a risk, you know, but this obsession with these breasts.
I mean, from what I mean, constantly when we interviewed, you always hear people reference Playboy, Hugh Hefner. You know, my dad raised me mostly. When my parents got divorced, I was mainly raised by him. And he definitely was a breast and a butt man, you know. And I think, for me anyway, I thought, well, if I have breasts, I'm going to attract better men. I don't know what I was thinking, to be honest. I think I convinced myself I was doing it for myself, and on some level I was, but the attention I received from them was not exactly what I was expecting. I just think, you know, women, I mean, you have a lot of female friends, I do. Like, everybody's always complaining. You don't hear men do this as much. About what they could change on their body. It's a very body-centric thing. And I mean, we're all guilty of it. I don't want to say we're all, but I'm guilty of it. And almost everybody I know always wants to make themselves look better. So, I mean, for me, I guess I wanted it would make me feel sexier. And for my sister, who was, you know, naturally a full C, after she had two babies and breastfed, they were just like hanging sacks of skin, and she just wanted to look like what she did before. So I would say those are the two things. A lot of women just want to look like they did before they had babies. But, you know, our breasts are there to nourish our babies. You know, it's really a strange thing when you think about it. Like, can you imagine, like, the animal kingdom? Like a cat has babies, and they're like, oh, I want to make my, you know what I mean? It's bizarre that somewhere, you know, a lot of it is men. Men like big breasts, a lot of them, not all of them. And women just want to be wanted and loved. And instead of looking inward, they're like, well, these big breasts are what's going to do it for me.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? I mean, the things we are led to do to our bodies for the perceived outcome of being noticed, which we associate with being loved.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But of course it doesn't work that way, does it? I mean, you may be more attractive to men because you have bigger breasts, but it doesn't mean the quality of the men you're attracted to, you know, or it's the quality that you
100%.
Want. 100%. Right? They're not, you know, it's not you they're connected to. They're, you know, connected to these breasts that, you know, just create a certain level of excitement in men, but it isn't enough to really create a true loving relationship.
No. And the men we interviewed, because we were like, let's hear what the men have to say. Men love breasts. From what every man, nobody, I was trying to find a man who would admit they love implants. I had a hard time finding anyone. Men will totally fess up to loving big breasts. They love small breasts. They love natural breasts. Like, that was sort of the main consensus. Like, we like big breasts, but we like them natural. But we also love small breasts. And most of them do not like the feel of an implant. They just don't feel natural. Now, of course, there are men, I'm sure, out there. I just really couldn't find any that I personally could bring into the film. And so that is basically what I learned. And from my own experience, the men I dated while I had implants are very different than the partner I have now, for example, who told me that if he if he met me when I had implants, he probably wouldn't have asked me out again. He's also European, so they have a different, you know, from what I could gather, they feel differently about this. I'm sure men are men everywhere you go, but I'm doing much better with relationships because I think right now, because I love myself as I am, so I think that is part of it as well, other than just, you know, having them removed and feeling good about myself.
And that really is the journey, right? It's the journey of loving oneself, accepting our bodies. It's a powerful journey of life to get to that place where we realize there's nothing wrong with us. We don't have to
exactly
do these dramatic things that ultimately cause so much suffering if we could just learn the lesson of loving our bodies and being grateful and appreciative of the body we have and how well it functions, however it manifests. That's such a powerful healing that is a challenge in our culture, because everything about our culture is telling us we're not perfect and we need to do more to be attractive or to succeed. You know, and it's such a journey back to ourselves, really. And it's so sad what so many women go through as a result of, you know, your investigation, so much suffering. Look at yourself, so much suffering for years. How much suffering.
And no answers.
Through. Yeah.
Just thinking, well, this is the way life is. I'm getting older. This is what happens. And, you know,
yeah.
I have more energy now in my 50s than I did in my 30s with the implants. So
when is your documentary scheduled to be released?
Well, we are, like I said, we're editing and we're going to do these next two interviews next week, and we should be finished by the end of the year. And then I could keep you posted on where people could watch it.
Absolutely. So where should people go now to learn more and to follow your progress?
Well, on Instagram, we started a page. It's at explant_doc, D-O-C. We'll be putting up a website soon. I got a lot of information. There is a website, healingbreastimplantillness.com, and the woman who started this webpage also has a Facebook page. I think it's her name's Nicole Deruta, so I think it's Healing Breast Implants Illness by Nicole on Facebook. I'm not on Facebook, so let me see if it says it right here. Breast Implant Illness and Healing by Nicole. And when I first went on that page almost 3 years ago, I think there's about 4,000 or 5,000 women. And last I heard, it's over 100,000 now, or close to 100,000. So she's definitely, you know, she's the administrator, but women are coming on there, sharing their experiences. On her website, you could find recommended explant surgeons, because a lot of these surgeons who know how to put implants in beautifully do not know how to explant properly by removing the capsule, like we touched upon briefly. So there's a lot of resources on there. And that was what I was led to when I got sick. So
okay, and that's healing. That's healing breast. Implantillness.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So healingbreastimplantillness.com. If anyone wants to learn more about what are the consequences to our health from breast implants, the many ways we can be dealing with all sorts of health issues, healingbreastimplantillness.com, and if they want to follow you, right now you're on Instagram, and that's at explant, explant _doc, D-O-C, so people can follow you there. And, well, we look forward to
seeing
you. They
could send me messages there, too. Yeah, if
good.
There's a woman out there who just wants contact, they could message me on Instagram. I will talk to anybody at any time. Happy to help.
Oh, that's great. That's wonderful. So people can certainly find the support that they need and learn more. You know, Sherry, this has been such an enlightening conversation, and your journey really has been so profound. And I'm so happy it's led you to a place where you have such wonderful health and vitality and are really following this passion of yours and this important project to really get this message out and support women, support women's lives, help them regain their lives like you did for yourself, for your sister. And I just really wish you all the best and the greatest success in what you're doing. It's important work.
Thank you. And what you're doing is obviously very important. So thank you.
Well, you are so welcome. And to all my listeners, thanks for listening today. We've been having this really, really important conversation with Sherry Clemente. And again, you can visit with her or communicate with her, find out more how the documentary is going through Instagram at explant_doc. And also check out healingbreastimplantillness.com for more information. And until next time, have a great week, and remember to always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.